And so we've gotten almost the maximum number of Sundays in this Epiphany. Although there could be one more, which is actually the text that follows what we have. So we're not going to get that one, but it's part of this message that Jesus is giving that we started last week. We have the middle today and the conclusion. I'll mention it a little bit later, part of that. But that would follow next week if we had one more Sunday in Epiphany, which we don't. So I'm going to encourage you to read that sometime this week. Finish off that message. I think some of it will be familiar to you already. But that's a little bit about the season we're in. You know, in Epiphany, I've mentioned, we can think of it as introducing Jesus. Jesus is being revealed to the world. And as we are introduced to him, we hear his calling on our lives. And we are introduced also to what following him looks like. And that's some of what we have in, you know, last Sunday, this Sunday. We get a little bit of what that looks like. As we follow along with the disciples, a couple Sundays ago, we heard Jesus calling them to fish for people. And we find that we're called to do the same thing, fish for people. And then we hear that we are blessed if we're poor, hungry, or sad, or if people hate us because of our faith in Jesus. We're blessed. And we were invited to rejoice, because great is our reward with God when we're following him and living with him in that way. And that continues on then today. Our teaching continues today. The first part of Jesus' teaching in this chapter, in this message that he was giving, deals with our identity, who we are, and what is the condition of our life in relation to God. And now we see in today's text, we see that in how that works out in our lives, in our actions, in our response to God and to what he has done. As we are part of God's kingdom, we could ask the question, how do kingdom people act? And that is what Jesus is getting into here in our text today. So our text is Luke 6, 27 to 38. I'll invite you to stand as you are able as I read that this morning. Luke 6, 27 to 38, reading in Jesus' name. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word that is difficult for us to hear and to follow. And as we hear and contemplate the calling on our lives that you give us here in this word from Jesus, we ask that you would work in our hearts to be able to follow this and give us wisdom to know how to do that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If any of the kids that are here would like to come up to the front, I'll invite you up at this time. We have a few with us. Come on up. A few of ours are at home. There might be some others that are at home too. We had a few with a little bit of sickness. All right. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you guys remember? Oh, can you sit up here? Do you remember what we talked about last week? Oh, can you sit up, Ezra? Thanks. Come on. Can you remember what we talked about last week? Do you remember? What did we say? If somebody hates you, what? Do what?
Turn the other cheek.
Oh, turn the, we just read that just now. Yeah, that's good. Good listening. What else? What else did we hear last week? Anybody remember what we heard last week? What can you do if somebody hates you because you're a Christian, because you trust in Jesus? What could you do? Do good to them? What else? Do you remember? What was on your picture?
Jump for joy.
Ah, jump for joy. Yeah, there you go. Jump for joy, right? So it said, he said, be happy. Jump for joy if you're mistreated because you're a Christian, right? This week is a little bit different, but it's along the same lines. Has anybody ever been mean to you? Ever?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, everyone has had somebody do something mean to them or bad to them, right? Is it easy to be nice when somebody is mean? If somebody's mean to you, is it easy to be nice back to them?
Yes.
Is it? It's easy? Oh, well, that's good to hear. It's not easy for me. If it's easy for you to be nice back to them, that's great. I think most of us have a harder time being nice to somebody that's mean to us. What Jesus is encouraging us here to do is to make peace with people, to be kind to those, even those who are mean to us. That's what we're going to be thinking about. I've got a picture here. You guys can have these. Also, after the service, you can tell me. There's something that's just a little weird about this picture, so you can tell me what it is after the service. So, can you... you can take those back with you. Hand them to any of the bigger kids that might like them. Oh... All right. Thanks for coming up. Okay. Well, you know, as I said, this the word here this morning, what we heard here this morning, comes out this context of Jesus first calling his disciples to fish for people, and he's calling us to do the same thing: go out and fish for people. And then he says, don't be worried if people hate you. They hated him. They hated Jesus. So if people hate you because of him and because of the truth, the conviction that comes through God's word, don't be surprised. But then he says, how should we act then? So that's first our response, is not one of anger and responding in anger, but what should our response be? And he says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. There's several different levels of response here, we might say. We have love, loving our enemies, that is, you know, maybe there's not anything tangible to that, but there's a tangible reality to it as well, which comes out in our action, so doing good. It comes out in our speech, as we speak. The blessing and cursing have to do with our speaking. Instead of speaking poorly and criticizing and wishing bad on someone, we turn that around and we have good speech about people and towards people, blessing. So our speech, and then our prayer, which naturally we'll think about our own needs, but also is thinking about the needs of those who maybe are mistreating us. So praying for them, all of these things, our actions, our speech, our prayers. And Jesus gives some examples here that I think are probably familiar to us. If somebody slaps you on the cheek, turn the other one as well. If someone takes your coat, give them your shirt as well. Give to everyone who asks. If someone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. This is not an easy idea to follow, is it? In a devotional that I was reading earlier this week, Martin Luther was talking about God's will and that we pray for God's will to be done. And the idea that he wrote about here is that God's will is done when our will is broken. And he had a hard way of describing this in this devotional. His thought was this, that our will is broken when we seek nothing good for ourselves, and even when we can, along the lines of what Jesus is saying here, when we can even give up, even to those who take in evil ways what is ours, we can say, well, that's God's will, I guess. Right? Our will is broken. What we want is broken. So he said, if somebody takes from you, either by asking you for good purposes, and you freely give it to them, or if somebody takes it, without your cooperation, just forcibly takes it from you. Either way, he says, you know what? You can trust that God's will is being done. It's not easy to do, is it? If someone mistreats you, is it easy to see that as in some way being part of God's will, that our will, what we want, is broken? Just a week and a half ago, I started something that I've wanted to do for a long time, probably since I was a teenager. I started, along with some of my kids, some martial arts lessons. I'm enjoying that. I wanted to do that for a long time. And the key thing that you learn in that is that this is something that you learn for self-defense, right? You learn it for self-defense. Now, in light of what Jesus is saying here, is that a good thing? Well, we learn in that, the whole reason for that is to not be passive if there's danger, but also to not be vengeful or demanding in return ourselves. In fact, often a good way probably to think about whether it's learning martial arts or other thoughts about self-defense or other things like that is really those things that we want to do, we want them to be primarily in service of others, right? Protecting others. We are called to protect others, so we do that. There are times where we might protect ourselves. We also acknowledge that as we do those things, we are praying for and speaking and acting in ways to even serve our enemies. So the people who find joy in self-defense because they've defeated the bad guy, it's probably not going along with what God is talking about here. There's a sense that even in those actions where we are rightly defending ourselves, we are also, even in that, thinking about the other person, even the one who is our enemy, who is doing something to us. We think about what is good for someone else, whether it's those we might be defending or those who may be doing the attacking, whether that's physical violence or other ways, right? There are a lot of different ways to have discord and argument and things like that, and enemies, really. Maybe there are many different ways that those come about. We love others. The idea of loving others is distorted in our culture. And it means, in many ways, just being permissive of anything as opposed to really thinking about God's truth. As we respond to those things, we might ask, how do we respond in ways that are not thinking about ourselves but are thinking of others? And Jesus says what's very familiar, quoting from the Old Testament, do to others as you would have them do to you. Not as they have done to you. I maybe have mentioned it here before. My kids brought it up this week as we were talking about this. You know, remember you talked about when you were a kid, you know, when I was a kid, thinking about, well, you know, my brother did this to me. And it says, do to others what you would have them to you. So when he did that to me, he probably wanted me to do that back to him, right? He hit me because he was doing what he wanted me to do to him, right? No, that's kind of a distortion of this, isn't it? Yeah, I knew how to twist things to my own advantage a little bit. So, yeah, not as have been done to us, not as we might be perceiving or using an excuse to say somebody's okay with us doing to them. No, as we would have them do to us, as we want to be treated in everything. We have this little brief sentence here, do to others as you would have them to you, kind of concluding this first part of our text here. The next two parts also have kind of a brief sentence that maybe summarizes what Jesus is saying. But let's keep this one in mind, because I think these three sentences tie together really well and kind of help us expand on our understanding of what Jesus is telling us here. So do to others as you would have them to do to you. So Jesus here now makes a comparison between what he is calling us to do and what is normal for humanity, what is maybe natural and easy to do. Somewhat easy to do, maybe if it's not our first inclination with our sinful nature, we at least could maybe, you know, work up to that on our own. And he's comparing what we should be to that. And he said, are you going to just love those who love you? If you do that, what credit is it to you? Even sinners do that. Even our sinful nature can do that. Now, we might not always do that, as I said. It might take a little bit of work. even to be nice to those that are nice to us. We might want to, do things for our own advantage in return, but we could probably work up to that, right, in our sinful nature. Yeah, okay, I'll be nice to those who are nice to me. Do good to those who do good to you. But what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. Lend to those from whom you expect repayment. If you do that, what credit is that to you? Anybody can do that. Even sinners can lend to sinners if they're expecting to be repaid in full. That's fine. Okay, you're going to repay me? It's no challenge for me to do that, right? Okay, I'll get repaid. Fine. No problem. If we're called to be nice to those who are nice, there's no challenge there. Anybody could do that. Even if they have different ideas, they could do that. But God has a different way for us. Love your enemies. A repetition of what Jesus already said. Love your enemies. Do good. Do good, even if good isn't done to you. Lend without expecting repayment. What does this all mean? We might think about enemies. Who are our enemies? Do we have enemies? I hope we don't have people that we would easily call our enemies. But there might be some. They could be those who are actually mean to us, who do things against us. Or they could be simply those who are hard to love. And maybe they're ones who, we don't have to be around them, and so we might choose not to. Because they're hard to be around, and so we just say, well, I don't need to be around that person. Right? So that could be the case as well, those that are hard to love. But Jesus says, do good to those. Love your enemies. And he says, then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Now, he's talking about a reward here. So let's pause and think a second. What does this reward look like? Is he saying that if we do good things to other people, if we're nice to those who are not nice to us, then because of that, we will be children of the Most High and God will reward us by making us his children? No, it's not what he's saying here. He's not saying that. He's not rewarding us with being his children, making us his children. What he's saying is we already are his children. That's what he was talking about before. He's talking about those who are a part of his kingdom. He's talking to those who are his children. And if we are trusting Christ for forgiveness of our sins, we are his children. What is our reward then? Do we have a reward? Is it something here on earth? Maybe. Is it eternal life that we get to experience with God? Maybe. I don't really know what exactly the reward is here, but God said it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Now maybe the reward is simply this. That there's joy in having our desires and our actions and our will be lined up with God's will. And the image that came to my mind of this is like a dog who's on a leash and constantly pulling somewhere else. And the owner is not letting them go. But then all of a sudden they decide to stay by their owner. And there's no pull on that leash. And isn't that a nicer way? Imagine ourselves as the dog, right? Wouldn't that be a nicer way to take a walk where you're not constantly being pulled back and pulled back, but just at peace with our master? That's what I picture here as maybe part of this as well. Well, then as we think about loving our enemies that we're being called to do, does that mean everyone? Does that mean always? Does that mean no matter what? Does that mean we see somebody on the side of the road as we're taking a road trip somewhere, someone we have no knowledge about at all, we see them on the side of the road begging, does that mean we help them? Well, it could. Does that mean we see something happening in a faraway place, another state, another country, and we say, oh, we see this need, we need to help? Well, it could. But the reality is, we can't give to everyone. We can't do everything. We don't have enough. We don't have enough resources. We don't have enough time. There's just not enough of us individually to be able to do that. Let's think about, though, the context and where Jesus is saying this. In the context of God's people. The rules that God gave, well, he's doing it in the context of the law that he gave them, the civil law, the way that he gave them to interact with each other as a community. And we might remember that that is given to people that are in community, in a shared community. And often, as you would think about lending in that way, it's often those to people that are known in a small community and also with those who are in a particular need. We're not thinking about a business loan or anything like that. We're talking about someone who's in need and needs money to get through or needs something. In Chad, we might find it with grain. Their grain has run out and they don't have any until the next harvest comes in. And so lend without expecting more than just what you lent in return. You can do that to somebody who's in need, right? So, but it's a community that's being pictured. So what does this mean for us? Well, let's start by those that we know. I think we could see the need in Chad or in North Carolina with damage from the storm and or other parts of our country, California with the fire. We could see need in those places and say, okay, I should send some money to help out there. And then we have somebody that's right next door to us or down the street or a coworker that we have no idea what they're going through in life. Start with those that we know. Find out how our ways that we can love our neighbors, those that are right near us, even those that we maybe don't choose to associate with all the time, because maybe we just don't like them, if we're just honest, you know? Maybe we just don't like them. But get to know them anyway. So that those that are around us are known to us, and we know how we can help them, and we know how we can serve them, even those that we don't like. And I'm just going to pause a moment here and just say, if you're thinking, I'm not very good at that. I don't know how to get to know people that are new to me or I haven't been gotten to know. I'm going to tell you, we have something here at Community of Joy that's called the Servant Leadership Training. A few of you are a part of that. And I'm going to tell you that that is one of the best tools for learning how to do that. I will just say, from my own experience, a testimonial here, that has been the most significant thing in my own life for doing that. For getting to know people that I may not naturally say, okay, I want to do this. And go out. So I'm just going to say that right there. We'll be doing that again this summer. So think about it. Think about taking part in that. It's a great opportunity. Do to others as you would have them do. And then our next short sentence here is, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. We are part of His kingdom. We are part of His family. And as His children, as part of His kingdom, we act as He acts. Not only towards others, but realizing that He has acted that way towards us. He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked, and we might say, oh yeah, those ungrateful and those wicked, it's a good thing he's kind to them, without remembering, oh yeah, that's right, the ungrateful and the wicked. And we can point at ourselves and say, He is kind towards us. Isn't that a good thing? It is. I mean, we're that way first. Right? He's been kind to us, and we can then be merciful to others. In what other way do we reflect our Father? Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Does that mean there is never a place for judgment? Is there never a place for criticism? No, it's not really what it means. In the next section that, as I said, we would have had next week, but maybe you can go and read on your own, he talks about taking the speck out of your own eye, or the plank out of your own eye before taking the speck out of your brother's eye. That might be a familiar one to you as well, right? It's not that there is never a place for judgment, for criticism, for correction. It just means that we don't want a spirit of being judgmental and arrogant. We don't want to sit in condemnation of people as if we ourselves are not also guilty and needing of a Savior. Forgive just as we want to be forgiven. Do good to others. Forgive easily. And all of these things, all of these different ways that we can give, that we can do good, that we can pray, that we can speak, do it generously. If we do good and if we give away, not just the resources that we have, but of our time, of our emotional strength and energy, if we give away this as if nothing that we have belongs to us, Because really, it doesn't. There's nothing that really does belong to us. If we give it away because it, as if it doesn't really belong to us, then what happens? Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. Does it take a little bit to picture? What is that talking about there? Good measure, pressed down. Think about trying to get things into a container, right? Pressing it down to get the most that you can into it. Not just filling a few things and then handing it out. Getting the most that you can into that. Shaken together. Think about if you have some flour that you've measured out, you have a certain level of it, and you say, okay, that's enough. I'm going to give that out. But if you shake that a little bit, right? If you shake that, it'll pack down, and you can get more into that. Shaken down, right? So you can get as much in there. Running over. There's no doubt that this is full because it's running over. This over-giving will be poured into your lap. God is giving this to you. So we could use some, this is a place for some creative thinking, isn't it? As we think about giving to others. We might sit down and ask, what ways can I give to others? And instead of just waiting for these things to show up and say, oh, okay, I could give there. We could be a little creative, couldn't we? Say, what are some ways that I could give? What are some ways that I could get to know people? What are some ways that I could love my enemies? Or maybe people we wouldn't quite call enemies, but that might be hard to love. What are some ways that I can do that? And God will give. He always gives. He will give blessings. And maybe one of the ways that He will give is with more opportunities and chances to give. What are some ways that God might give to you? What are some ways that God might give opportunities in life, in this life? He might, as you are generous with your giving of what He has given, He might work through you. He might bring someone into His kingdom through you. He might get somebody through hardship through you if you allow Him to make you generous. Will He give blessings of food, shelter, and clothing? Probably. We're not usually short on those things, in this country at least. Will He give nice things beyond that? He might. But let's dream a little bit bigger than that. What would something bigger than that be? He might make you poor so that you can be rich in Him. Are you willing to dream a big dream like that? He might put you in a difficult place so you can bring someone to Him. And He could give you all of these hardships. Remember what He said to the disciples as they talked about giving up things to follow Him, their families, their possessions, all of this to follow Him. And He said in return, what did He say in return? He said, yeah, those of you who have given those up, God will give you 100 times more of all of those things with persecution, right? Persecution is a gift and a blessing from God, is it? Wow, it's hard to think about. But maybe God will put you in those places to serve Him, poor and in hardship, and joy and laughter unending in the midst of it. Now, we could hear that in a sarcastic way. Oh, yeah, you'll be joyful in the middle of it, right? But it's true. It's true. We can give good things even to those who are hard to love, even if it costs us everything, because God gives good things even to those who are hard to love. And if things are hard for us, God is good through it all. And we also know that we have eternal life and a relationship with Him. So we hear all of this that God is inviting to us to. And He says, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. We cannot outgive God. It is not possible. So give unto others as you would have them unto others as you would have them do unto you, even if it means giving away everything. Show mercy, even as our Father has shown mercy and forgiven us, the worst of all people, I think we could claim that, each one of us, as Paul did for himself, the Apostle Paul. We could claim that for ourselves, the worst of all people. God has forgiven. And give generously. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. God will give generously. And we can trust him in that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word to us, this difficult word. Help us and guide us and give us wisdom to know how to love those who may be our enemies, who may be in different ways hard on us, mean to us, or simply those who are hard to love. Help us to know how to do that in a good way. Help us to know how and be ready to give and even be proactive to know how to give to others as you give to us, trusting that you will give blessings unending in all of our life. Help us to trust that what does come from you, that what does come to us in our life is from you. Help us to trust you through that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.